Here is our King, He is our love, He is our God who's come to bring us back to Him. He is the one, He is Jesus, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you are richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Josh Vietti.
You know that commercial where the kids turn into the parents? I feel like I'm slowly turning into my dad. On Sundays, he always rolls in a little bit later than he probably should. And he seems like he's, you know, got a lot on his mind and he's not fully prepared. I'm sitting there like finishing my notes like the last second. It's funny. VBF is different. We're a little different. If you haven't figured that out yet, we're not fully prepared. I carry a knife too. I don't even know why. We're not fully prepared all the time by purpose. We're prepared. That's not the right word. We have a plan, but we always lay it aside and lay it down for the Lord. And so I had a plan this week, and I was going to talk to you guys about faith, and I think that was going to be a good message. I was excited about it, but the Holy Spirit just yesterday led me to preach something different. And so today I'm going to talk to you guys about sin. So it's going to be a fun one. I know you guys love this topic. It's your favorite, right? It's funny because when you hear a pastor talk about sin, you know, we always cringe and think, oh gosh, you know, this is going to be one of those messages where the pastor stands up there and tells me, gives me a list of all the things I can't do. Right? All the fun things I can't do. And you're going to wonder why you can't do those things. And the pastor's just going to tell you because I said so. It's going to be a flashback to when you were children and your parents said, don't do that. Why? Because I said so. And stop asking why. Right? That's what we grew up in. That's the kind of attitude that we grew up in. Is don't do this because God said so. Don't do this because God's going to be angry. Don't do this because, things will be bad if you do. And that's got some truth to it, right? But as I grew into my faith, I started to understand that, you know, sin, God asks us not to sin for a specific reason, because there's a better way, because there's more in this life for us. And if we are distracted by sin, then we're never going to fully live the life that God has called us to live. And I started to understand that perspective of sin. And so that's what I want to talk to you guys about today. But I'm going to go ahead and pray first. And I've got a lot of scripture today. And so somehow I'm going to try to get through most of it. But let's just pray and ask God to speak to us individually, but also as a church, all right? So let's do that. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. Lord, I thank you for what you do. God, you know how unworthy I am. You know how unworthy we all feel today. And Lord, I pray, God, that we would all lay down every burden that we have. I pray that we would lay down every insecurity that we have. I pray, Lord, that we would lay down the imperfections that we know about ourselves, and we would trade that in for the perfection that we know you are. Lord, we love you, God. We need you. We need your grace today. Holy Spirit, we need you to show up, to be here. You are always here, but let us show up as well. Let our spirit and your spirit connect today. Lord, let us hear your voice. Speak to us. Show us what you want to show us. Confirm the things in our hearts that you have put there. And let the things that are in our hearts that are not there, let us, give us the strength and the wisdom to lay those down. And let your fire fall from heaven and burn those things. Destroy those things. Give us a clean, clear heart today. And give us a clean, clear word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So First, I'm going to start with definitions because I think definitions are important. So I'm going to talk to you guys about what sin is so that we can understand it from a biblical perspective, all right? As we know, the Bible wasn't written in English. It was written in Hebrew. The Old Testament, the New Testament was written in Greek. And so I'm going to give you guys the definitions of sin, and I'm going to try to simplify it the best I can because I'm a simple guy. I like in and out because I only have one choice, right? So sin, the Old Testament word for sin is chata. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but chata, C-H-A-T-T-A-H, and it means an offense. So an offense, it's something that you do that's wrong, right? But when you look at the Hebrew word for sinner, chata also, but with one less H, so very similar word. The sinner word means offender, criminal, one who habitually sins and is subject to the consequences of his actions. Okay, so that's the Old Testament definition. The New Testament word, the Greek word is hamartia, and it means missing the true end and scope of our lives, which is God. An offense in relation to God with an emphasis on guilt. So to simplify sin, right, it is offending God, but it is not just offending God. It is walking in a way to where you are missing out on the life that God intended you to live. We've heard the definition of sin is missing the mark. Well, it's even more than that. It's missing the entire point of life. James 4:17 gives us a definition, a simple definition of sin. Let's look at that verse real quick. James 4:17. Okay, I have it in my Bible somewhere. I'm going to look it up. James 4:17. There we go. All right. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin. So sin, in a very simple definition, is when you know the right thing to do, but you don't do it, that's sin. And I would add to that that when you know what you're supposed to do and you don't do it with the right heart, that is missing the mark. That's missing the point. Heart matters. So again, let me simplify this definition of sin. Sin is not doing what you know that you ought to do. We all know. It's in our hearts. We know what we're supposed to do. We know who we're supposed to be. We know. How many of you guys know that when you wake up tomorrow, you have a choice to make? You can either choose to set your eyes on God. You can choose to set your eyes on the Word. You can choose to set your eyes on the Creator, the one who made you. Or not. How many of you guys believe in God? You believe in God. Okay. If you didn't raise your hand, this isn't for you. For those of you that believe in God, why would you not want to follow his plan? Why would you not want to follow his plan? I mean, there's no reason that we would have that's good enough unless we believe in God and think he's evil, which some people, I guess, do. But I don't know about you, but my experience with God has always been a good one. My experience without God has always been bad. Might be fun at first. It might be interesting at first, but then it always leads you into darkness. It always leads you away from the light, right? So I'm going to share three Old Testament stories kind of in a quick way. The first one we'll read, it's the second two, they're long, so I'm going to paraphrase them. And then we're going to go into some New Testament scriptures about sin. So the first story that I want to share with you guys is the story of Cain and Abel, and specifically about Cain. In this story, the word sin is first introduced in the Bible. So it's not the first time sin has happened. Obviously, sin happened with Adam and Eve. So we know that had already happened, but now they have a name for it, I guess, and they start calling it what it is, and it's sin. So in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3, and I did mark this, so I'm going to go ahead and turn to that. Genesis chapter 4, 3 says, in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain is the older brother. Cain and Abel both brought offerings to God, and God had regard for Abel's offering, and he did not have regard for Cain's offering. Why was that? Probably because it seems to allude that Abel brought of the first fruits. He brought the best to God, right? This is what he had first. He came first. And Cain brought whatever he had left, I'm guessing, right? So it says that because this happened, because God had regard for Abel's offering and not for Cain's offering, the older brother, it says, so Cain was very angry and his face fell. You guys know that face? How many of you guys are married? You ever see your spouse's face fall? Like, uh-oh. So God notices this, right? And it's in verse 6, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why has your face fallen? And then God gives Cain a warning. So Cain is angry, okay? He's angry. We've all been there. We've all been angry. Anger is a response, right? It's not that we choose to be angry. We just become angry because we think angry thoughts, right? Shouldn't think the angry thoughts, but sometimes we do. So you get angry. So God warns Cain not to sin here in verse 7. He says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. Look at that thing. Look at that part of the scripture where it says, sin's desire is contrary to you. Sin is against you. When we're tempted to sin, we think, oh, it'll be all right, no big deal, right? I can do this one little thing. But how many of you guys know that the one little thing turns into another little, you know, little thing, and then another medium thing, and then another, all of a sudden you're just doing things and you're in a mindset that you just never thought you'd be in. It's a slippery slope, right? But God gives Cain the warning and says, hey, you've got a chance here. You're angry, so deal with it. Turn around, do a better job next time. That's what God is basically telling Cain to do. Just stop, don't be angry, do better next time. But Cain was a stubborn guy, right? And it's in verse 8, it says that Cain spoke to his brother Abel, or Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and we don't see Cain dealing with his anger there, so I'm assuming that Cain went to Abel in anger. How many of you guys know that's not a good idea? When you're angry, you don't go confront the person. You let yourself cool off. You take a walk. You do whatever you have to do, right? You spend some time with the Lord. You start being thankful for the things you do have. You let the anger subside before you talk to somebody, right? But in anger, Cain goes to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother and he killed him, right? Now, I don't know how long that conversation was. I don't know if it was like 30 seconds or if it was 10 days. I have no idea. I have no idea how long the conversation was. It doesn't say. But the fact is that God warned Cain, and Cain did not listen to the warning. He went to his brother in anger, and that led to a major sin. And then God punished Cain. And the curse that Cain had to withstand was in verse 12. It says, God says, when you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. And so the point from this story that I want you to see is that sin hurts potential success. Sin hurts potential success, right? Don't sin. Why? Because I said so. Okay, all right, that's fine. Don't sin. Why? Because it's going to hurt you. It's going to keep you from accomplishing the things that you can accomplish. It's going to keep you from becoming the person that God has called you to be, right? It hurts potential success. The second story that I want to share is the story of Samson. Samson was a mighty warrior. He was called by God. He was a Nazirite. He took a Nazirite vow, right? And that Nazirite vow included a lot of things. One of the things that the Nazirite vow included was not cutting his hair. So he had this deal with God that he would follow these certain rules. And because of that, God was going to give him strength. And he was going to be a protector of Israel. And he was I'm trying to think of a good way to say this without cussing. But he was a bad hombre, okay? He was a tough dude, very tough guy. And in Judges 13:5, it says, "For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son." This is God speaking to the mother. "No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite." Okay, I just told you all that. "And he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines." The Philistines, those pesky Philistines, were still around. And Samson would fight them and win, fight and win, fight and win. He killed thousands of them. But Samson, as we know, he fell in love with a woman. Samson fell in love with a woman who wasn't loyal to God or to him. Now, there's a lesson there, right? A side lesson. How many of you guys know that if somebody's not loyal to God, they probably won't be loyal to you, right? That's a truth that some of us, unfortunately, have learned by experience. But Samson fell in love with this woman, and he was in love. He didn't care who knew it. And this woman, Delilah, she was pressured by the Philistines. And she caved to that pressure into getting Samson to tell her what his weakness was. And he should have known, because he asked her she asked him what his weakness was. He told her something that wasn't true. And all of a sudden, the Philistines came in and tried to bind him and take him. And this happened 3 times. And finally, Samson caved to the pressure. Look at Judges 16:16. It says, "When she pressed him hard with her words, day after day, and urged him, his soul was vexed to death." His soul was vexed to death. See, Samson was a strong guy, but he wasn't strong enough to withstand that day-to-day nagging, right? That day-to-day push, that day-to-day pressure, and finally, he caved, told her the truth, told her that he had this vow with God and that if his hair is cut, he'll lose his strength. But Samson didn't really believe that anything would happen, because somewhere along the line, Samson forgot that his strength was with God, and he thought that his strength was actually his own. He thought he owned his strength. I think some of us, we get caught up in that. We think that we own our strength. God has blessed us with something. He's blessed us with gifts. He's blessed us with abilities. And we think that it's all us. And we go out there and once we start to believe it's all us, what happens? We crash and burn. And that's what Samson did. He still believed that it was him. He's like, "Yeah, cut my hair. It doesn't matter. I'm strong. I've done all this stuff." But he didn't understand. He forgot that he did all that stuff because God was with him. And so she lulled him to sleep, had his hair cut. When he woke up, he was bound and he tried to fight and he lost. And Samson gets a second chance to take out some Philistines, but he ends up having to take himself out as well. And Samson was a valiant man, but unfortunately he had to learn some hard lessons. And one of those lessons was that sin depletes our strength. Right? That's another reason we shouldn't sin. Don't sin. Don't do these things you know you shouldn't do. Why? Not because I told you so, but because it depletes your strength. It wears on you. It makes you tired. You can't just keep sinning and sinning and sinning and be okay. It doesn't work, right? Third story is Solomon, King Solomon. Solomon was somebody who had been given everything that the world could offer. He was wealthy. He was wise. He had the best education. His father was a valiant warrior as well. His father was King David. And he had everything. Everything was given to him. And he started off really well. He started off really, really well. His father gave him some advice. 1 Kings 2:2-4 says, "I'm about to go the way of all the earth." So David's about to pass away. So he's telling his son, "Be strong and show yourself a man and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. That the Lord may establish his word that he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons pay close attention to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. See, David, King David, was playing a game that was beyond himself. It was beyond his generation, beyond his life. He was doing what he was doing for the future generations, you see? And it was important to King David that not only Solomon was a good king, it was important that Solomon's sons were good kings and that their sons were good kings. He cared about the generations. Many of us, we don't really care about the future generations. Yes, we care about our children, but do we care about the future generations? How many of us this week we're watching the news and we think there's no future generation, right? But what if there is? What if what if Jesus doesn't come back for another 100 years? I know a lot of us don't believe that's the case. We think he's coming back next week. He might. He might. But we don't really know when. So how many of us are investing in the future generations? That's another side note. I'm sorry that I keep getting on these side notes. These stories are full of so much stuff, right? So Solomon had everything, right? Everything that anybody could be given, he had it. But Solomon desired the one thing he could not have. It says he loved foreign women. He was told not to love foreign women, but he did. So 1 Kings 9, look at 1 Kings 9, 4 through 8. As for you, if you walk before me as your David, so God is basically giving Solomon a warning. If you walk before me as David, your father walked with integrity of heart and uprightness, doing according to all that I've commanded you and keeping my statutes and my rules, then I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever, as I promised David, your father, saying, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. But if you turn aside from me, from following me, you or your children, and do not keep my commandments, my statutes that I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land. I'm going to stop there, okay? So he's basically saying, don't go and worship other gods, in which Solomon was probably thinking, why would I do that? Why would I go and worship other gods? Of course I'm not going to go worship other gods. But God knew that Solomon's weakness for foreign women would lead him into worshiping other gods. And that's exactly what happened. His wives, his concubines, all these floozies, they led him. I don't know. That's right. They led him into the wrong direction. So look at 1 Kings 11, 1 through 4. Now, King Solomon loved many foreign women along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, you shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. But Solomon clung to these in love. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart. When Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart. I think it's the same situation that we had with Samson. It was day in, day out. It was over time. Wore him out. It says they turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. So Solomon ends up falling from grace. His heart is turned away. And God comes down and tells Solomon, he says, I'm not going to punish you for this because of the promises I made your father David. But I am going to punish your children. And unfortunately, King Solomon, his sins affected the future generations. So this other point that I want to make from this story is that our sins don't only affect us. They don't only affect us. They affect our children. They affect the other generations. And I would say they also affect the people around us now, right? Our sins don't just affect us. We think we can get away with it. We think we can handle it. And maybe to an extent you can. Maybe you can do a few bad things and you can survive it. Maybe. I don't know. But in the end, Who are you affecting? Who are you affecting? Who are you robbing of blessings? So these three stories, there's a lot in there. I think that the Old Testament stories give us a picture of God's dealing with men. But the Old Testament stories are about people who are under an Old Testament covenant, an Old Testament promise with God, right? And God seems to have dealt with individuals on an individual basis. He seems to have spoken to them specifically, told them what to do, and they either did it or they didn't do it, right? But in the New Testament, we're under a new covenant, okay? So look at Hebrews 8, 10 through 12. It says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one, excuse me, and they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest." And so we live under this new covenant where we know what's right and what's wrong. Just like James said, we know the right things to do because the Lord has given us this Holy Spirit, right? If we're believers, we've been given the Holy Spirit, and we know what we ought to do and what we ought not do, right? And we know that when we pray, we know that when we seek God. If we don't pay attention, our minds are clouded. If we start paying attention to other things, then our minds are clouded. But when we focus on God, when we come to Him sincerely, we know what we ought to do. It's that simple. What do I do? Just stop what you're doing, whatever you're doing, and listen to the Lord. Say, God, what is it that you have for me today? Open his word. Read his word. Ask him what he is speaking to you through his word. Start praying. Start really, truly praying. You want to know how to pray? Look at Matthew 6. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. What I need today. Give me what I need today. And you know what? He will. If you ask him those things, he will. So we're under that covenant. And it's a lot simpler, and I like simple. Again, I like In-N-Out, because all I can order is a cheeseburger, right? There's different ways you can order it, but I'm not going to go there and get a burrito or chicken nuggets. When was the last time you had chicken nuggets? I don't even want to know. What are they? That's the other question, right? What are they made out of? What's a nugget? I've never seen a nugget on a chicken. Anyway, I'm definitely getting sidetracked this morning. This is what happens when I don't sleep. I just lay there on Saturday nights. Sunday mornings, I think I'm going to change. Someday I'm going to change church to Sunday afternoons. Have a big breakfast or something. You know, come in, have pancakes and eggs, have coffee, and then start the service whenever we're full. That'd be fun. It'd be better than this 8 a.m. stuff. Anyway, Romans 3:23. I'm going to go through these next verses really quickly. Okay, so this is for us. Okay, this is for us under this covenant. This is for us. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. Okay, go ahead and go to Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, so we've all sinned, and the wages of that sin is death. It leads us into the wrong direction, but we've all been given the free gift of Jesus Christ, right? All of us. So we don't have to walk in that way. We don't have to walk in that way. So why would we walk in that way? Look at Romans 8, 1 through 2. Now, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. How many of you guys are in Christ Jesus? You're choosing to be with him, right? Maybe you're not perfect, but you're choosing, if there's a choice, you're with Jesus or you're not with Jesus, who are you choosing today? You're choosing Jesus, right? So if you're in Jesus, there's no condemnation for you. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. You are free to walk with him. John 8, 34 through 36 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." Anyone who practices, who habitually sins, who walks in sin, who is led by sin, they are a slave. They have no control. They are stuck, right? The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Freedom. There's a bunch of people that marched to the White House this week trying to find freedom. Not the White House, the Capitol, whatever. But that's not where you find freedom. You find freedom in Christ Jesus. That's where you find freedom, right? Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight. Every weight. Sin is weight. Let us lay aside it. Why are we carrying weight? If I asked you to run a mile today, it would be hard enough, right? But if I asked you to run a mile and you had a backpack full of bricks, it would be a lot harder. So why not lay that down? Why not lay that sin down? Why not lay that junk down and make it easier on yourself? Let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And instead of holding on to that, let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Okay, so Jesus, when he was walking toward the cross, he said, this is going to be really hard. This is not going to be fun. This is going to be unpleasant, but it is completely worth it because I don't see the cross. I see beyond the cross. I see the joy and the grace and the blessings of being with my God, my Father, after the cross. And we all have a cross to bear, don't we? And life is not easy, is it? It's not easy at all. But we choose to walk past the fire, through the fire, because there is a blessing on the other side. We choose to do that. And Jesus did that. He looked at the cross and said, difficult, but worth it. And for those of us that are still struggling with the same old junk, it's time to stop dealing with the same old junk. And it's time for us to walk through the challenging parts of life. Walk through those challenging things and find God in the end. Ephesians, this will be the last scripture. Ephesians 2, 18 through 19 says, for through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but we are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We are citizens of heaven. We are citizens just like the Apostle Peter, just like John, just like Paul, just like Abraham, just like Samson, right? We are citizens of heaven. Just like those people in the Bible. So let's act like it. Let's be those people. And let's not sin, because sin is only a hindrance. It's only keeping you from being the person that God wants you to be. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are, for what you're doing. Lord, I pray, God, that today would not be a sermon of condemnation, but it would be a sermon of encouragement, that it's easy to take a backpack off of bricks while we're running. It makes more sense to do that than it does to hold on to it. So I pray, Lord, that that would be our attitude towards sin, that we would see it as a pile of bricks that's keeping us from running the race. And I pray that we would take the backpack off, we would take those bricks off and lay them down, and we would run toward you. Give us the strength to do that. Lord, I pray, God, if anybody is here and they don't believe in you, I pray that you would give them the faith to believe in you, to trust in you. And I pray, Lord, that you would give them the ability to believe that you sent your Son down here on this earth to live this perfect life and to take all of our sins upon us on the cross and to die, but then to rise and resurrect, so that we could be resurrected with him into heaven. I pray, Lord, that we would have that belief today. That's you. Make sure that you say that to the Lord, that you believe and you trust. And Lord, I pray, God, that you guide us. And I pray, Lord, that you'd simplify our walks with you. I pray for all the confusion, all the frustration, all the anger to just subside as we choose to simply put one foot in front of the other. We love you, Lord. And we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.